Welcome to the Quantum Revenue Expansion Podcast. My name is Ursula Minchus, and I'm a sales expert, strategic business coach, and USA Today bestselling author. I love sharing strategies that show you exactly how to turn your annual revenue into your monthly revenue. If you're looking to take a quantum leap in your revenue or sales, your team, your productivity, your success, and your life, then you are meant to be here. My goal in every episode is to help you take your belief that it's possible to 2x or 10x your revenue while working way less to knowing that it is happening right now. Welcome back to Quantum Revenue Expansion, the podcast where we talk about turning your annual revenue into your monthly revenue, because isn't that fun? Super excited, as always. Like, this is, I love hanging out on the podcast. And today I have the amazing Dion DeMaii here with me today to talk about resetting your money thermostat. So good morning to Dion. Glad you're here.
Hey, Ursula. So great to hang with you today.
We're going to have so much fun. So Dion and I go way back. Like, I don't even know anymore. Like, we met through Nabo. We've hung out in different roles and, like, I don't know, we've served on different, we probably were on different boards at the same time. I don't even know, just extensively. But we met in California and we just had a fun journey together. So I'm super excited to have you share your wisdom today, your business story, and to talk about this idea of a thermostat. So before we get there though, really quickly for listeners, I just want to say thank you. We went back at the beginning of the year to having a show a week, and I've just been impressed with just the feedback we're getting, the reviews, just hearing from you guys and what shows you're appreciating. And I even want to give a shout out to my friend Shauna in Arizona. She's one of my college friends, and she's been listening too. So you just never know who's out there listening. So Shauna, if you're listening, this is for you. We're going to dedicate this to you today. I got to hang out with her last week. She flew into Minneapolis. So super fun. If there's anything we can ever do for you guys, just email us at contact@ursulainc.co. And we'd love to hear just topics or anything that you have for us. And if you haven't hung out with us yet at the 2X Intensive, come and play with us. You can give us a little information at ursulainc.co/apply. Just send your information in and we'll have somebody reach out to you and talk to you if the class is a good fit for you or not. If it's not, we have other resources as well. If it is, come and play for 2 days. So that's my invitation. So let me tell you about the amazing Dion. Celebrating 28 years in business, Dion is founder and president of DDM Metering Systems, Inc., a utility sub-metering design, installation, and reading billing service company headquartered in SoCal, Southern California. Her company provides customized green solutions to residential, commercial, and municipal communities seeking to manage energy usage and equitably allocate costs among tenants and residents. And it's interesting to be in California doing this kind of work. I'm sure that's been a journey in itself. So Dion, welcome to the show today. Let's just start. Maybe tell us about this 28-year journey. What brought you into this world of metering? And what's this adventure been like for you? I mean, you know, the thing is, we laugh because it's like you're thinking about all the times you probably wanted to quit and all the times you kept going, and here you are.
Well, I landed here totally by mistake.
Perfect.
This was totally an accidental entrepreneurship. This is actually my third career, and I was in New York City working at a law firm doing marketing and communications, and was ready to take a break. Had a lot of friends and family in California, wanted the beach, wanted some warm weather, decided to take a break and move, had no job, jumped into the void, and ended up getting a contract job with an electrical engineer doing a study of electrical usage at Cedars-Sinai Hospital. Now, to give you background, I'm a French literature major from Bryn Mawr College. I'm not an engineer. I barely made it through math in 10th grade.
Join the club, yeah.
Yeah. But when Excel and Access and FileMaker Pro came out, I took to it like a duck to water. So this job was a dream come true. I was doing databases and graphs and spreadsheets and had a blast. And when the job was over, the engineer introduced me to an electrical contractor who had a lot of clients who happened to have meters. And in those days, in the late 90s, I'm dating myself, you know, a meter was you'd go up and look at the dial and read it. And so he had a couple of those. He had he needed somebody to manage it. I didn't know anything, but I learned. And it was kind of during that time period where smart meter technology started. And I kind of taught myself, you know, it started where you'd read the meters on bulletin boards. Remember bulletin boards?
I do.
You know, you dial up and you'd get these readings. It was hysterical. And then, you know, over the years, obviously, it's gotten a little bit, you know, better than that. But anyway, so I worked there for 2 years, learned the industry. It was kind of a graduate course in business management because the owner of the company really didn't want to deal with it. And so I managed the payroll. I did the proposals. I did the sales. And then after 2 years and too many hours and not enough pay, I said, you know, this is ridiculous. Can't do this. I'm going to go. And so I quit. And one of my clients said, if you're leaving, we're leaving with you. Mm. And so one of my clients came with me and that's how the business started. And literally the day that I walked out the door and they called my home, my then boyfriend answered the phone and thinking on his feet, he said, he used my initials and he said, DDM metering, Dion DeMahi.
Right.
And
wow.
That's how DDM metering was born. So it started with one very large property in Santa Monica, and it kind of grew from there. I'm very proud that that property is still with us.
Hmm.
Four owners later.
Wow.
Yeah. But because of the nature of the industry, we've grown tremendously, almost entirely by referrals, because property managers and building engineers, who are really our source of business, jump from building to building all the time. And mm-hmm. So they'd go and they'd call us and they'd say, oh boy, I've got a mess over here. Can you come and figure it out? So that's how we grew the business. And we've gotten a reputation for being very hands-on, customizing work, and figuring out messes.
Yeah, solving problems, meeting needs.
Yeah.
What an interesting journey with your major and not really loving math, not being an engineering major, but all of a sudden falling in love with spreadsheets and just kind of making this different leap. Very, very interesting, because you know, when you look back at something, it's like, wow, it makes total sense. I mean, like now where you are, but at the time, I'm sure it was very interesting. So now, as you look back on this journey, Dion, and you think about growing the company financially, of course, we're talking about resetting your money thermostat. What does that mean to you? I know like there's some really great advice that you have for our listeners in that space.
So this is sub-metering is a very competitive industry, and it's very hard to get information. It's not like you can walk into a store and kind of know what other people are charging. Right. So it's, it was very difficult in the beginning to have any clue of sort of what the universe was. And I realized very early on that my thermostat was set way low. And I was very lucky in the beginning that a male engineer that I was working with saw one of my proposals and kind of said, Dion, what you're charging is what a what you would charge for a clerical. This is what you would charge for your time. This is what you would charge for, you know, somebody who's your number two. And so I kind of got more of a sense of where I needed to be in the mix. But here was what really was interesting to me, was that there was, I began to really set my thermostat by my physical reaction to the number that I was putting on the page. So if I put a number on the page in a proposal and my stomach was kind of churning, I realized I was way too low. If I got really shaky and wanted to just like crawl under a rock, I realized I was getting close, but I wasn't close enough. If I really wanted to get physically sick, I realized I was probably right.
I love it. Okay, so wait, let's just stop for a minute. Okay, so you put a proposal together, you got to throw in the pricing together, you look at it and you're like, ugh, like I'm going to crawl under a rock. I'm just not feeling good about this. Yeah. So then what'd you do? How much did you charge?
Well, I charged the top price.
Okay, good. Yeah.
And I realized along the way that people were okay. And, you know, over the years, you know, even now when I'm, you know, I'll call up a property manager and I'll say, you know, we have to do this work and it's going to be, you know, X thousands of dollars. And I'm thinking in my head, you know, are they going to buy this? And it's totally appropriate. I mean, it's totally, and they're like, approved, you know, what's next? And it's, you know, it's getting easier for me. What's also interesting is my number two in the business is in her late 20s. She doesn't have any of this problem. So it's really, she's a good foil for me when we're getting into pricing questions.
Yeah.
And she will stop me when I'm like, well, okay, maybe we should drop the price if they're really concerned. She said, no, why? Forget it. So she's, you know, it's maybe a generational thing.
Well, and also she's probably not emotionally attached the way we can be as the business owner, right? There's a difference. Yeah. Because ultimately, like underneath that, you don't want to lose the business. So it kind of creeps up of like, you know, if I'm not priced correctly, what's going to happen? And I'm guessing the property managers and the people that make the decision too, most of the times, let me clarify, are they the owner of the building, or
typically not? The owner, but they would be managing the budget. They would be that would be approving it.
But in some ways not emotionally attached, right? It's not their personal pocketbook.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, which is interesting. And I'm just bringing this out because I think it's important for everyone to remember that. Because I agree, like as business owners, we can have those emotional attachments in a different way. And that's a lot. It's a lot to work through. And I love your idea of the money thermostat for our listeners as a way to kind of work through it. And we don't want to be the lowest, right? We don't want to be the lowest price where you're just giving the services away, because you can't run a profitable business. And you want to be the competitive. And sometimes for you, like, because you know the quality of service you delivered, that's at that higher end, if not, you know, the highest end. And it, because you have such a track record, I'm wondering, Dion, too, and with your team, like over the years, it's probably gotten easier, right? Like continually gets easier to put that out there.
Yeah, we also, about a year ago, we did a very deep dive into our whole pricing structure. And there was pricing that I hadn't changed in 10 years. And we went through and we looked at, you know, what the overhead costs were, what the direct costs were, what the labor costs were. And it was kind of shocking. And it changed some perceptions for us. One of the things that changed was we kind of thought some of our smaller clients were fine because they didn't take too long. But we realized because of overhead and some of the software costs that they really weren't as profitable for us. So we really are rethinking who our ideal clients are and really having to turn away some of the smaller clients.
And why is that super important at the stage of the business?
Well, because we realized we were stuck at a certain income level, revenue level. Mm-hmm. And the reason was that we needed to increase the number of clients always, but also to increase the size of the clients. For us, it's generally the number of units in a building. In our industry, it's called doors. So if an apartment building has 5,000 doors or it has 100 doors, that's how we charge. So if we only have 20 doors as opposed to 100 doors or 500 doors, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And it's obviously more economical for us, more profitable for us to do larger. And not that we don't want to do smaller companies. And we made decisions with some of our clients because of relationships that we would just sort of continue to do.
Yeah.
Take care of.
Yeah.
And that's kind of our little, you know, pro bono corner.
But, so what are some of the like limiting beliefs about money?
Want to buy a house but dreading the process of borrowing the money? Or maybe you'd like to do a remodel or pay off debt, but it just feels daunting? What if it could be made simple? So simple, it was as easy as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's what PBJ Mortgage looks to provide, simplifying a complicated process and making your life as stress-free as possible. Experts in the field with over 40 years experience. They want to educate you on your options and empower you to make a great choice that fits you. For our listeners, they won't charge you any lender fees and they will refund the appraisal at closing. Reach out to them at info@pbjteam.com or go to their website at www.pbjteam.com or call them at 469-373-3107. Again, that's 469-373-3107.
Or just about your business that you've shifted since hanging out with us at the CEO table?
Well, really that I can make money. I deserve to make money. My company deserves to be bigger. I think we've been stuck for a couple of years in this ceiling that we can't break. And we're profitable, we're fine, everybody's paid well, but I'd like it to be bigger and stronger and more solid. Mm-hmm. So that's that you've really helped and the group has helped to start thinking that my thoughts are limiting what we're doing And so we're trying to, it's helped me to focus more on what we need to grow the business.
Yeah. And you said something about the business, because we do talk about this at the CEO, that the business wants to grow. And isn't that interesting? Like when we tune into our businesses, like it's almost like it's talking to us, yeah. Right? Like your business, it's ready to grow. It wants to grow. And yeah. It's like you've built such a strong foundation. You have the team, you have the systems, the processes, like you're set to have like the business have its best year ever.
Well, what was really interesting for us this year is that I always thought we kind of were a one-track company that, you know, the submetering was it. I really didn't seem right to me to branch into like solar sales or, I don't know, you know, it was kind of, we did what we did it well. But this year, sort of without trying, these two different markets opened up to us and mm-hmm. we're really going after those right now. And that will help us to grow. And there it was. And they're yeah. integral to the business. They make total sense. And totally within our skill set.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's amazing. Like that's such a great example of when we expand the container or the upper limits of or your thermostat, like whatever you want to create, yeah. the opportunities that can show up. But then it's like we have to be willing, right? We have to be willing to get out of our comfort zone or, you know, step into that next level. So when you look back at your journey, Dion, like is there anything, and this is just advice for couple pieces of advice for our CEOs who are listening out there. Is there anything that you would have done differently?
Well, yeah, I would have gotten coaching much earlier.
Interesting.
I would have, you know, SCORE helped me a lot, but too late. And then, you know, I think I just thought we were too small and we were limited in funds, but it would have propelled us much faster. You know, I didn't have the experience. You know, I had basic business and, you know, grew to be really an expert in this field. But, you know, in terms of the marketing and, you know, growing the business, I could have used help. And mm-hmm. I'm sorry I didn't reach out sooner.
It's interesting. I mean, I think so many people are listening, myself included. Like, I think that same thing. I wish I would have gotten a coach sooner. And I'm a coach, so I totally feel that. Because in the beginning, it's a stretch, right? Like you're just trying to pay your bills. And sometimes to see the next piece is it's like the next potential level. And there's definitely that interesting money conversation. Yeah. So what else, like, I know there were other pieces of advice that you had, and that definitely probably wasn't it. But what other pieces of advice do you have for some of our listeners? They have businesses, you know, they might be having their best year in business. They might be having a challenging year. What other pieces of advice do you have for them?
Well, I guess the two things I was going to say were, you know, think, you know, for us this year, it was being able to find ways to diversify, to find different avenues, to find different sources of revenue, and also of ways to build on existing revenues, you know, through referrals or just add-ons. But I guess, you know, the biggest thing is just stick it out. I mean, I think, you know, I've been doing this now for, you know, 28 years. And there have been years where I just thought, what am I doing? And it just feels like, you know, it's going nowhere. And then it goes, you know, mm-hmm. and then we make a giant leap forward. And, you know, it's all worth it. So a lot of it is just one step at a time and not, you know, and not giving up.
Yeah. What are some of your practices, Dion, to not give up? What keeps you going? What keeps you committed to the company, the team, the clients?
Well, yeah, it's the team and the clients. You know, I have relationships, really deep relationships with a lot of my clients, but, you know, mostly with my team. I mean, you know, my team has been with me for a long time and they're all, you know, at this point, close friends, and we work together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to do everything I can so that they are, you know, taken care of and safe, but also challenged and happy and, you know, invested in what we were doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we spend a lot of time on just strategic planning, mm-hmm. and incorporating everybody. We're, by the way, we're pretty much a virtual company now. We went virtual 2 years before COVID. So we went through COVID easily. We already were doing Zoom meetings. And the great thing for us was that when our clients got used to Zoom, it made it easier for us, because I used to spend a whole day going to one meeting in Los Angeles.
Wow.
You know, with the traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how it is. So, but we've done in-person retreats. We were on Zoom together all the time. We're all accessible. We're across different time zones. So sometimes it gets a little, you know, I'm always like, what time is it where I'm calling? But it's really good because we cover a lot of territory. The other great thing is that we can hire all over the country. Mm-hmm. So we've gotten really fabulous people that way. Mm-hmm. We just put a posting on LinkedIn. In the first like couple of hours, we got 50 inquiries. 50
Wow.
Resumes. And a lot of them are really qualified. So
what do you love most about having a virtual business? Like, in the sense that your team is virtual now?
Well, it's really the freedom. I think we're much more productive this way.
Yeah.
You know, I can travel when I need to clients. We can work different hours. We can accommodate clients at different hours. It's just better.
Yeah. And you love to travel as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the entrepreneurial dream, right? Freedom is, I think, for most of us, our top value. Of course, community, all those other pieces and wanting to build the company, but having that freedom and that flexibility. So I think it's just a great example of how you made that transition. I can't imagine driving to LA anymore. And,
no.
You know, like, I mean, we live in a time when we don't have to, which is really quite powerful.
Yeah. I mean, I have a car that's 4 years old with less than 10,000 miles on it.
Yeah. There you go. I think I have the same. It's interesting. Yeah. We're in such a different time. So we have a few minutes before we wrap up. Dion, just so everyone knows, because we never know who's out there listening, but tell everyone, like, who is your ideal client? Who do you network with? Who would hire your company? And where? Like, anywhere in the country? Just California?
So really anywhere in the country. We work with building owners and managers of commercial and residential properties, and also municipalities, mostly small water districts. And we do equipment and design and installation, but mostly we'll do the utility billing. So in the case of a multi-tenant building where there's one master meter, say there's one master water meter, we'll go in and put individual water meters into each tenant's unit, and then we'll read them and generate all the bills, collect the money. So we're doing all the management for the property manager and managing the utilities, the collection of the utilities. It's also, we're very environmentally,
conscious.
And it's really exciting, especially with water metering. You put in water meters, and when people get a bill and they realize that they're looking at their actual usage and what it costs, their usage goes down 10 to 30% in the next month. I mean, it's amazing. So we have a direct impact on conservation of water. So that's an added impact to what we do.
Yeah. I get that. I mean, just with our own rental properties, we don't have a ton, but like in Florida, especially, we keep an eye on that. It's amazing. Like you see it, it makes a big impact. So I can imagine the impact that you have. So for someone who might want to get in touch with you or your team, please share your website and maybe some of the, obviously you hang out on LinkedIn, any of the socials that you hang out on.
So our website is ddmmeter.com. And we're the same on ddmmeter.com on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Awesome. Awesome. Dion, really great hanging out with you today. And thank you for sharing all that advice, especially in the area of our money thermostats and really raising them. I can feel people across the world letting that sink in right now. And you know, really finding that, like really connecting our price with our value. So thank you for sharing that. And thanks for being here today.
Well, thank you.
Always fun to see you. And to our listeners all around the world, we love hanging out with you. If there's anything we could do for you, again, you can email us at contact@ursulainc.co. That's it for this week, everybody. Make this your most epic month yet.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you loved what you heard, be sure to leave a review on iTunes so I know what you like and can create content that guides you to uplevel your business even more. If you want more strategic business tips, follow me on social media. You'll find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And you can visit my website at www.ursulainc.co. I love being on this journey with you and can't wait to connect with you on the next episode. In the meantime, make this your most epic month yet.